Welcome to Parents' Perspective. My body and how it looked simply weren't things I thought about. My mom would sometimes comment on my rounded, muscular thighs, but I didn't really worry about it. To me, they were a tool that let me run faster and flip higher. After-school snacks and nightly desserts fueled my adventures, and, at 12 years old, going up a clothing size wasn't cause for alarm. It just meant that I could finally shop in the juniors department. One night, I reached for a cookie after dinner, and my mom said, "You know, you might want to cut back on the cookies." It certainly wasn't the first time I'd been told I couldn't have a snack, but this felt different. What had been okay now wasn't. I had been okay, but now I wasn't. In that single moment, I became a girl who had to worry about what she ate. This excerpt is from the book You'd Be So Pretty If, Teaching Our Daughters to Love Their Bodies Even When We Don't Love Our Own. From a parent's perspective, how can we help our girls navigate the minefield of body image and still maintain their self-esteem? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today believes that young girls are much influenced by their mother's images of and attitudes toward their own bodies. Dara Chadwick is the author of You'd Be So Pretty If, Teaching Our Daughters to Love Their Bodies Even When We Don't Love Our Own, which grew out of her experience as Shape Magazine's 2007 Weight Loss Diary columnist. A former magazine staff editor, she's a New England-based freelance journalist specializing in health, wellness, and lifestyle topics. Her work has been published in magazines such as Shape, Parenting, Working Mother, Family Circle, Woman's Day, Better Homes and Gardens, For Me, and Viv. She's also the mother of a 13-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old son. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Dara.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
What would you say is the biggest body image issue that young girls face these days?
I would say the biggest issue is just the pressure that's coming at them from all directions to be something other than what they are, whether it's the media, whether it's us, whether it's their peers. They're all feeling the pressure to be different in some way, whether that's taller, shorter, thinner. They're all feeling that pressure to be something different, and I think it can be a very difficult thing.
Why is that? You would think in this era when we have female Supreme Court justices and female cabinet members and all this stuff that, you know, young women should feel more empowered rather than less empowered.
You would think so, but really with what's coming at them from the media, it's all about image, it's all about celebrity. We're a very celebrity-obsessed culture, so girls are really thinking about what they're seeing around them, what they're watching on MTV and VH1, and those kinds of images are really sticking with them.
Are the toys like the Barbie dolls still unrealistically proportioned?
I think they are still unrealistically proportioned. Certainly some of those dolls do create some image issues for girls.
What's the most important thing, then, in this sort of jungle that the girls are in for parents to keep in mind?
I think it's important for parents to keep in mind that girls are really looking to them as role models, both dads and moms. But moms in particular need to realize that they're teaching their daughters what it means to be a grown-up woman. So the things that I'm concerned about, whether I obsess about my weight or about how much money I make, these are all things that my daughter is watching and thinking, oh, well, this is what my mom worries about, and she's a grown-up woman, so this must be what I should be thinking about, too.
But you would think in two-career families, that would be something that would be in the forefront.
You would think so, but as women, I think we all fall a little bit victim to that pressure that we put on ourselves and each other to be this full package. It's not necessarily enough to be, you know, a high-powered executive or to make a certain amount of money or to be a wonderful mother or a great friend or a great sister or a great wife. We want to do it all, and we want to do it all looking perfect in this package that we've created for ourselves.
How do mothers have a special role in a daughter's body image concerns?
We're role models for them, but not only how they feel about their bodies today. My daughter is 13, and I can model a healthy body image for her and healthy habits, but I'm not a 13-year-old. But the way she sees me treat my body today and talk about myself, also, she's filing that away. And when she is a grown woman and has children of her own and is a middle-aged mom like I am, she's going to remember the things that I said about myself, and that's going to affect the way she sees herself.
And I guess this is sort of the next step on the continuum, but the feeling, our whole American perspective on aging.
Yes.
Is huge. And we've got a whole group of people, the baby boomers, who have decided that this rocking chair stuff is ridiculous. And we do things to our hair. We do things to our faces. We do things to our bodies. How does that trickle down to this growing generation?
If your daughter or your son hears you, oh, I look terrible. Look at these wrinkles. I'm getting so old. Those kinds of messages, they're filing those away and they're applying them to themselves as they start to get older as well. For me, my mom died at 60. Her mom died at 63.
Oh my gosh.
I don't have any role models for aging. So I'm getting into uncharted territory as I get older. I don't remember what it was like to have a mom who embraced aging healthfully because my mom never made it to what I'd consider to be old age. So I'm really hoping to be the first feisty old lady in my family.
Oh, good for you. I think sometimes it's not even what we say, but how we react to things. I have young grandchildren, and my little grandson looked at me, and he patted my face, and he ran his fingers gently down my face, and he said, "Bubby, you have rinkadinkas." So his sister said, "Those are wrinkles." And I think my reaction to that was quite important in the long run, because, of course, my reaction is, well, that's who I am. That's what I look like. I earned those. It's our response to the world around us that influences our children and grandchildren, even when we're not aware of it.
Absolutely. Those unspoken messages can be even more important than the things that we say. For instance, if my husband compliments me and tells me I look beautiful, in the past, I've been known to say, "Oh, you're just saying that."
Or, "Oh, you can't say that."
You know, yeah. But those kinds of things, those kinds of behaviors, when we brush off a compliment like that, that's really sending a message.
Yeah.
So speaking of sending messages, how can we teach our children to ignore some of the negative messages that are coming in? I remember hearing someone say that the beauty queens of bygone eras, you know, Marilyn Monroe and Jane Russell and all these other people, today would be considered overweight.
That's true. My daughter and I were just talking about Marilyn Monroe the other day and how she wore, I think, a size 12 or 14, which by our standards today is considered enormous, even though I wouldn't agree with that, but certainly culturally we've come around to a place where that is considered larger. But back then, those women were absolutely stunning. So that's kind of fascinating culturally, I think, to see how we've changed in just such a short time. By the way, I don't think that you can teach girls to ignore the media messages or ignore the influence of their peers. The word I like to use instead is to filter. Moms can be a buffer to some degree, but teaching girls to really look critically at what they're seeing and to think about what they're seeing. Kids want to talk about pop culture. They want to read teen magazines. They want to see the latest celebrities. That's their world. That's their culture. That's what they talk about with each other. So I don't think you can cut kids off from those things. But certainly by being an active participant and knowing what she's reading, what she's watching, what she's listening to, just by staying aware of it, you can talk with her about what she's seeing and how those images are affecting her and her friends, if she's open to it. And I have to preface everything by saying, I don't think moms should get up on a soapbox and start preaching all this stuff. It's really about taking advantage of opportunities and different chances that come up to talk openly about these things.
It reminds me of how we talk about dealing with advertising, because mm-hmm. it's sort of the same kinds of messages.
That's right. There's a lot of pressure to look a certain way or be a certain way, not just in terms of body image, but in terms of, you know, if you use this product, you'll be wealthy and your house will be beautiful and everyone will love you. Mm-hmm. We're all getting those messages all the time, and it's really important that we learn how to filter them ourselves.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on girls' body image.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dara Chadwick about girls' body image.
It's very interesting. I don't know what the response of men is to the very, very thin stars of today.
Honestly, I'm not sure either. I was just talking with someone about, you know, what men find attractive. And we were talking about that very thing, how it seems to be women who put pressure on each other to get thinner and thinner and thinner, whereas the men prefer, it seems, and I think there have been some studies, though I couldn't quote any here, about the fact that men do prefer curvier women. I think it has something to do with some sort of biological evolutionary thing where I think studies have shown that when they're seeking out a partner or a mate to produce children with, that they prefer a curvier frame because it's an indicator of fertility and health. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure. But I think that that has something to do with it.
It's interesting. Somebody who was a guest on our show said that women who look too thin, whatever too thin means, are reminiscent to men of boys. That looks more masculine to look, you know, too thin. I don't know. I don't, but isn't that interesting?
Yeah. But certainly, even when we talk about someone being too thin, I think we have to be careful from a body image perspective because there are women out there who are naturally thin, and I'm sure they face their own set of pressures. We've all seen the Olsen twins and other very thin celebrities. Keira Knightley comes to mind. That are on the cover of tabloids and they're being accused of being anorexic or having eating disorders when, in fact, that may not necessarily be the case. But some women are built naturally thin, and I think they do face their own pressures to conform.
So if we're dealing with daughters, should you raise the issue of body image or are you just there if it comes up?
I personally would not raise it, although in my situation, because of my experience with the Shape Magazine Weight Loss Diary column, it was right there out in the forefront, and it's really what sparked this book. I was focused very much on restricting calories, on working out, on working with a life coach to deal with my own body image issues. So my daughter, who was 11 at the time, was right in the thick of it. So for her, it did come up, and we talked a lot about it, about why I was doing that column, which was because I wanted to be healthier, not necessarily because I wanted to be skinny or look like someone else. I really wanted her to know that. But in general, for a situation, if that hadn't been part of our lives, I don't think I would bring it up. I would take my cues from my daughter. And certainly you can pay attention to the media that she's consuming, whether it's magazine. My daughter loves 17 magazines, so we will look at that together sometimes, or she'll leave it laying around and I'll glance at the table of contents or flip through the pages just to see what she's being exposed to. Or shows like America's Next Top Model. I know a lot of young girls like that. I would encourage moms to sit down and watch that with her and use that as a springboard for a conversation. I wouldn't push the issue and be preachy, but if it comes up and she says, boy, those girls are really thin, there it is. There's your opening to talk about, you know, what that means and what that looks like and whether that's healthy.
What about a person who's a bigger person, a woman who's 6 feet tall, for example, or 5'10", and kind of broader, bigger person, not necessarily what we would call a fat or overweight person?
Right.
What about people like that as they're growing up especially?
Well, I think it's key to teach girls and boys, for that matter, that as long as you're taking good care of your physical body with healthy choices in terms of food, and you're exercising in ways that make sense, not rigid gym habits, but just ways to incorporate movement into your day. If you're eating right, if you're exercising, I think on some level it allows you to accept that this is who you are. And I think it's best if we can model for girls a sense of contentment. Many daughters tend to look like their moms or look like their dads. They take after one parent or the other. So I think the parent who the daughter resembles has to be very careful how they talk about their own body. If I'm 6 feet tall and my daughter is 6 feet tall and my daughter's uncomfortable with her height, you can bet she's looking to me to see how I feel about my own height. And if you can model good behavior for her in terms of accepting yourself, speaking kindly about yourself, not making critical comments about yourself in front of her, those are all ways that you can show her that you accept yourself and hopefully help her learn to accept herself too.
One of the things that's very noticeable in young women like that, of taller and bigger stature, is how they carry themselves.
Absolutely.
People who carry themselves tall and straight instead of slumped over look better and feel better and set a better example, of course.
Actually, I'm 5 feet tall myself, and I always wanted to experience just for one day what it would be like to be 6 feet tall. I imagine it's an entirely different perspective on the world.
Sure it is. But we wouldn't know either.
No. Well, as our teenagers get older and get to be young women, and as we age in tandem with them, is there anything that you feel that they can learn?
I think the most important thing that we can teach our girls and hopefully encourage them to embrace is that you don't have to be perfect. Whatever perfect means to you, whether it's something you've taken from the media or for many of us, it's, you know, what I weighed before I had children back when I was young and cute and, you know, my body hadn't been through the ravages of time and childbirth. If you can teach your girls that it isn't necessary to be perfect, to be happy, to be productive, to have a successful marriage, to be a good wife, mother, sister, friend, all of those things, you don't have to do them all in a perfect package, whatever perfect means to you.
Going back to a weight loss program after a lot of years, I learned that they set different goals for you when you're in your 60s than they did when I was 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I was delighted with that because I thought, I wonder if I really could be the size I was, you know, at that time. And they said, well, that wouldn't be healthy for you. That was the first advice that I thought was brilliant because you could face illness.
That's right.
And so you need different kind of reserves and other kinds of things like that that I thought were really good guidelines for aging appropriately. What techniques would you recommend to help teen girls who either are facing the need for weight loss or under some circumstances the need for weight gain and physical fitness without damaging their self-esteem? How do we guide them?
I would say you want to take your cues from your daughter. If she's happy the way that she is and your family doctor or her doctor is not saying she needs to lose or gain weight, I wouldn't push the issue because of something you might think or something your mother said. I would say it's best if you can make it a family-wide approach. In other words, if somebody needs to lose weight in the family, then everybody should start eating healthier and making an effort to move more. It doesn't have to be a rigid schedule of things. It can be, hey, want to take a walk with me after dinner, or you want to go out and shoot some hoops. But anytime you single one person out, it can be not only damaging, but really hard. You don't want to say, we're all having cheeseburgers and fries, or we're all having pizza, you're having salad. That's just, when you're 13, 14, 15, I can't think of much that would be more horrible.
Well, what happens if you have a daughter who wants to lose weight and decides, I'm going on a kind of diet?
I think it's important to make sure that girls have the information they need. I learned so much about nutrition during my year as Shape's Weight Loss Diary columnist. My kids learn so much about nutrition, I think they never want to hear the word nutrition again. But certainly, as long as it's healthy, I think it's okay. You might want to have some conversations with her about why. Mm-hmm. Why do you feel you need to lose weight? Is it something somebody said to you? Is it a number you're seeing on the scale? Are you comparing yourself to something you see in the media? Try to ask gentle questions and see if you can get her to open up about why she feels like she needs to lose weight. And I think that can really be a guide to the behavior once you have that information, whether she does in fact want to cut back or exercise a little bit more. Once you know why she wants to do that, I think that can really be a great guide in terms of helping her do it healthfully.
So it's really a lot of listening we have
to do. Absolutely, a lot of listening.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on girls' body image.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dara Chadwick about girls' body image.
Speaking of listening, what about the elephant in the room, which is peer pressure?
Oh, yes. Peer pressure is exceptionally difficult for girls, especially at the middle school age, which is right where my own daughter is now. So I'm sort of reliving my own experiences on the other side. And as moms, you know, there's this part of us that wants to say, well, with the benefit of experience, you want to tell them this is how it's going to be, this is what's happening, but they have to go through their own trials and tribulations. But I do have an entire chapter in the book devoted to peer pressure and what I called body bullying. And one of the things that I learned from writing that chapter, I talked to an expert in peer relations, and his biggest piece of advice to me was to teach girls not to internalize the criticism that they hear from their peers. Mm. In other words, if Susie calls you fat, try to see if you can figure out why Susie might be saying that. Is it because you were talking to the boy Susie likes, or the teacher likes you better, or you had on a pair of UGG boots and Susie's mom won't get her a pair? There are all kinds of reasons why girls will turn on each other, and your fat seems to be one of the weapons they like to pull out quickly. So it can be really tough for girls. But if you teach them to sort of think that through, then it becomes, well, Susie's just saying that because of this reason and not necessarily Susie said I'm fat, therefore I'm fat. It's tricky and it can be hard for a 13 or 14-year-old to be that rational when they're feeling so hurt and wounded. But as the doctor I talked to for the book said, it's one of the key things you can do to help girls deal with that.
In your research working on this column and working on this book, did you come up against eating disorders that resulted from some of this image problem?
I do have a chapter on eating disorders in the book. I need to be very clear that I am not an eating disorders expert, and I would advise any mom who thinks that their child might have an eating disorder to seek professional help, most definitely. An interesting thing that comes up in the course of writing this book for me is that there are so many moms out there of my generation, I'm 41 years old, who had eating disorders themselves as teenagers and are still very much dealing with the effects of their behaviors, their relapses. In fact, the Eating Disorder Center of Denver, I believe, they did a study on eating disorders in middle age and found that they're increasingly common. So many moms are still dealing with these problems themselves just at the time when their daughters might be dealing with it as well. So it's very important to watch your own behavior.
What about the peer pressure to be on some kind of diet? In other words, all the girls in the class are on this kind of diet or that kind of diet. What about teaching your child how to deal with that kind of pressure?
Well, that's really interesting because, in fact, studies have shown that peer groups do tend to exhibit those kind of behaviors together. If one girl is dieting, it's very common for her friends to be dieting as well. So again, I'd go back to what we talked about earlier with if your daughter wants to go on a diet, you know, seeing if you can ask some questions to find out why she wants to lose weight. So if she says she wants to go on a diet or you notice that her behavior is changing and she's starting to exhibit some strange food behaviors or some rigid food behaviors, those can be the beginning of eating disordered behavior. So if you start to see that, I would say it's really important to talk with her about what she's doing, about why she's doing it. And if it turns out that it's a peer pressure situation, I think, again, that listening, that talking, it gives her an outlet outside of her peer group where she can talk about these things with you and find out if it's something that she really wants to be doing or if she's just doing it to go along with the crowd.
With all this discussion about food and nutrition, have you found that it makes a difference if you involve your daughter in cooking?
I think it does. Again, if she's interested, if she doesn't want to set foot in the kitchen, I don't think it does anybody any good to force. But I know my daughter likes to make things like fruit salad. She likes to bake. So I can often coax her to come into the kitchen. We'll look for a healthy recipe together. Those are all great ways to get kids more involved in good nutrition, good healthy choices without being really preachy about it.
Well, unfortunately, we have to bring this interview to a close. There's obviously lots and lots to talk about. But before we go, in addition to your own book, You'd Be So Pretty If, Teaching Our Daughters to Love Their Bodies Even When We Don't Love Our Own, what resources would you recommend to our listeners who want to pursue further some of the issues we've been discussing?
My own website is www.youdbesopprettyif.com without the apostrophe, and I blog there 3 times a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I also have some resources listed there, and readers can feel free or listeners can feel free to get in touch with me there. There is a great book out there for learning about healthy food choices and about healthy diets called Fat Families, Thin Families by Amy Hendel, H-E-N-D-E-L. It's got some wonderful information about taking a family-wide approach to good eating habits, so I highly recommend that one. Also, in terms of understanding girls' behavior and their concerns in adolescence, Odd Girl Out by Rachel Simmons and Queen Bees and Wannabes by Rosalind Wiseman. She's got a wonderful website, too, where she does some great video things. We're talking directly to girls, but they're fun to watch, and you can really get some insight into the adolescent mind. For media and understanding retouching, I would recommend the Dove Campaign for Real Beauty website. There are some great videos where they show you what a model looks like going into a photo shoot, and then you watch her undergo the transformation, and you see the retouching they do with the computer where they lengthen her neck, raise her eyebrows, really make changes to her face, and then you see her on the billboard at the end. And I think that's really eye-opening for girls and moms to watch and see. You know, she was beautiful before they did anything to her, but she certainly looked like someone you might see on the street. But afterwards, there she is, billboard glamour. So that's something I would definitely encourage moms to check out with their daughters. And in terms of body image and eating disorders, it's a more academic book, but it's called Perfect Girls, Starving Daughters by Courtney Martin. And that's also got some interesting insight, especially from a feminist perspective.
Well, you have certainly given us a lot of insight from the perspective of a mom and a journalist and a caring adult for our teenage girls. So, Dara Chadwick, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of Dara Chadwick's book, You'd Be So Pretty If, Teaching Our Daughters to Love Their Bodies Even When We Don't Love Our Own. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 409 and tell us, if you can, what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. At the end of our program, we often thank individuals or foundations for their generous donations that help with the cost of producing Parents Perspective programs. Parents Perspective Incorporated is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today it is our turn to thank you, our listeners, for your generous tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Please send your checks or money orders to Parents Perspective Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015. And thank you for helping us continue to work for you. At our website, www.parentsperspective.org, you can find the information to donate to Parents Perspective when you make online purchases. You can do it through igive.com. Our sound engineer is Elizabeth Buckle. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.